Please do take a pew Bible. There should be one nearby you. Or indeed, if you're someone who follows on your phone, be looking up Luke chapter 18. And if it is a church Bible, you'll find it on page 1052, as you'll see on the screen there. Luke chapter 18, page 1052. And it's just a one-off this Sunday, and Johnny, our new curate, is going to teach us. Next Sunday, we'll start in Romans, our main book for the year ahead. But Luke 18 this morning, thinking about what sort of faith finds God's favour. And so I'm going to read, then I'll pray, and then Johnny will come and teach us. Luke 18, from verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let's pray. Loving Father, we again thank and praise you for your word to us, the clarity of your teaching, longing that we understand you better, understand ourselves better, and therefore our need of you more. And so we pray now that as we have your word before us, you give us ears to hear and hearts to understand, and through Johnny's teaching, eyes to see the Lord Jesus. May we respond with the right sort of faith. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. Johnny.
Thanks, Adam, very much. And as Adam mentioned at the beginning of the service, we are going to be thinking about faith this morning, thinking about where we put our trust. Maybe think of it like a faith kind of MOT health check at the start of an academic year. Let's be thinking about our faith. And we're going to do that by meeting two men. You might have recognized that as we read. Two men who give us two prayers and show us two radically different faiths. And we're going to have a little think about them. We'll be asking that question, which faith finds God's favor? What sort of faith finds God's favor? And then we'll ask that question to ourselves as well. We'll ask ourselves, what sort of faith do I have? Is it one that finds God's favor? So just keep that in your mind, that big question, what sort of faith finds God's favor? And then asking that of yourself as we have a look at this parable together. Because that question is one that Jesus addresses in the parable. Have a look at verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So first, the Pharisee. Now, if in your mind you've got kind of pantomime, evil, villain sort of ideas, then just get those out of your head for a moment. That's not what the Pharisee is like. They were actually the good citizens. They were serious about church, the Bible, about God. They might have graced this building. And this Pharisee, he goes up to the temple to pray. And nothing unusual, nothing strange. So far, so good for the Pharisee. But then it all changes. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself. He stood by himself. And you might at first reading think, what's the problem in that? That sounds all right, doesn't it? But this Pharisee, he goes into the temple, he ignores everyone else around him, he keeps going, he probably goes into the sort of inner core of the temple where no one else is, and he stands there all by himself, elevating himself above everyone else. He's full of self-confidence. He's setting himself apart from everyone else behind him around the temple. He trusts in himself. And that's exactly what we see as he prays as well. Verse 11, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Did you hear it? I, me. That's what his prayer was about, and hardly a mention of God. He's got this judgmental attitude towards everyone else there. He elevates himself far above everyone else. And from that position, he looks down on others. And he does this by focusing on his religious achievements, what he's done, his fasting, his giving. And he does it way, way more than the Old Testament requires of him. He is elevating himself above everyone else. He's self-confident. He trusts in himself to be righteous. He puts his faith or his trust in himself to be right with God. He elevates himself. Now, have you ever taken an elevator up the Shard? Have you ever been there? Right the way to the top, you know. Now, if you're scared of heights, don't do this, okay? You get in the elevator at the bottom, and you head up. You start by going past the apartments and the office block. You go through past some lovely restaurants on kind of floor 40 or something like that. There's a hotel there. You go straight past that, floor 50. Then I think some more apartments. And then you get to floor 72. Now, for those with heights, don't go to floor 72 because you head out the escalator, the elevator, and there you are on the open-air viewing platform on floor 72. You can't go any higher than floor 72. It's right at the top, and you can see lovely London out there. And you look and you see what you thought were big buildings, like St. Paul's Cathedral. They're small little Lego sort of size. And then you look around and you see little red buses going up and down the roads. And you peer down for a little bit longer, and you can sort of see small little people sort of moving around. But to you up there, floor 72, peering down, they just look like dots. Dots kind of moving around, crossing the road, going down the road, going into shops. You peer down from the height of floor 72, and you see people, just little dots. And that is exactly the way that the Pharisee is acting. He's up there, floor 72, peering down at everyone else, just little dots walking around. Verse 11, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So the other man, a tax collector. Now, they had the most hated profession you can imagine. They were thieves and traitors. They were Jews who worked for the oppressive Romans. They were extorting their own people for profit. Think sex trafficker, drug lord, gang ringleader of today, and you've got your tax collector. But this tax collector, he goes up to the temple to pray. Verse 13, the tax collector stood at a distance. He stood at a distance. He doesn't go near. He doesn't go into the heart of the temple where the Pharisee had been, but he stands at a distance, on the outskirts, if you like, far away from the Pharisee, far away from everyone else. And this demonstrates a sort of wariness in approaching God. And we see that in his actions as well. Verse 13, he would not look up to heaven, but he beat his breast. So can you picture him? He's retreating into the corner of the temple where no one else is, away from everyone, his back turned, his head is stooped low, He doesn't have confidence to even look up to God. He might fall on his knees, and then he beats his breast, and he is silent before God. He's full of remorse, regret, shame, and sorrow. And then from these quivering lips, we see those actions put into words as he sort of musters up enough to cry out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And that prayer is to God. It is all about God. He knows that God is high and holy, and that he is not. He knows there is a vast distance, chasm between him and God. He knows that he is a sinner. Not that he's sort of messed up a few times, made a few bad choices or mistakes in his life. No, no, no. He says he's dirty. He's sick. He's polluted to the core. There's nothing he can do to wash away his dirt, cure his sickness, clean himself up. He knows he's unworthy to receive any favor from God. And so, well, he does the only thing he knows he can do. He cries, he pleads, he begs God for mercy, for forgiveness, for help, for pardon. He prays. If you were here last week, we were looking at Psalm 32. And he prays Psalm 32 that his sins would be forgiven, that they would be covered, that they wouldn't be counted against him. He makes no comparison to others, does he? His only concern is between him and God, for God to grant him mercy. And so, if you like, empty-handed, he cries and pleads God for his mercy. Now, something that amazed me this summer was at the Olympics. I don't know, Paralympics is on, if you've been watching that. Olympics earlier in the summer was on. And something that amazed me was a new sport there called sport climbing. It's a little bit like this. You know, they have all these different climbing challenges. They've got to kind of speed up a wall. And then one of the challenges, they've got these sort of huge boulders coming out of the wall. And they've got to somehow negotiate a way up the wall around these huge boulders that seem pretty far apart. And I think, how on earth would you get from one to the other? But that's sport climbing. You might want to pick it up if it's interesting you. And at every point I was watching, there was at least a moment in every competitor's sort of challenge or when they were trying to go up the wall that they sort of paused. They were there clinging on to one of these boulders. It looked impossible that they were going to get their arm up to the next one. And for a moment before they moved a leg or an arm or something, they were just clinging to this boulder, a little bit like this guy. And for their life, or for the gold medal, they were just clinging, holding on, just by their fingertips. And that is what the tax collector is doing. He's holding on, clinging on by his fingertips. And that sort of fingertip clinging sort of faith, I think might have inspired a hymn writer called Augustus Toplady, what a name, by the way, to write the words of a hymn, Rock of Ages. We're going to sing it at the end of this sermon. And some of the words go like this. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You see, the tax collector's faith, well, it's nothing like a floor 72 peering down sort of faith, Pharisee-like faith. It's empty-handed, fingertip clinging to Jesus sort of faith. And so we see two men with two faiths, two prayers, and two radically different faiths. And so we come back to the question we started with. What sort of faith finds God's favor? And then the question for us, which faith best describes our own faith? Now, I think some in this room, you might be like the tax collector, sitting here right now, feeling the weight and the burden of your sin, ways that you know you've messed up, that you're failing, and you're feeling that heavy upon your shoulders right now. You see everyone else here this morning. You see how kind of sorted they look, like they've got everything in place, and you think, well, if they just knew what was going on for me, they would look at me different. They would talk to me different. And then those words a moment ago, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It sort of resonates with you. It sort of describes you. You're feeling the kind of weakness and guilt of your Christian life or your faith, but you know that you're still clinging. It feels very much fingertip, but you're still clinging to Jesus. And if that's you this morning, all I want to say is keep clinging. Keep clinging to Jesus. Do talk to one another about how we're doing. And keep clinging to Jesus. Keep praying the Jesus Prayer. It's a prayer that was written in about the 4th century, based on this parable. And it goes like this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. Keep praying that prayer. Pray it again and again. Maybe memorize it, internalize it, so you can just pray it. And it's a prayer that someone I know told me they used to pray day in, day out, night in, night out, in the hardest of times, in the darkness of their Christian life at times. All they could do was pray this prayer. And so keep clinging, keep praying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. However, there might be others here this morning that are much closer to the Pharisee, who would identify with the Pharisee. Those sitting here might be, or online, might be looking to their church attendance, look back to their baptism or receiving communion, those sorts of things, and thinks, once I've done that, tick, 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 I'm all sorted with God. That is, trusting in ourselves and not Jesus for our own righteousness, our own right standing before God. And if that resonates with you, then as we have a little look in a moment through the parable a bit more, then there's a real shock there for you. So stay tuned in for that shock. But also, for many of us, I wonder whether we know we're the tax collector. We know a time, or we've always known, that we've come to Jesus. Come to Jesus for forgiveness. Come empty-handed, and now we follow him. But if you're anything like me, you'll find it so easy to veer away from the tax collector and veer towards the Pharisee in your life. And if you kind of in any way sense that veering away from that empty-handed, clinging to Jesus tax collector and towards a Pharisee, so trusting in yourself sort of faith, then let's just pause together to think through how that might be happening in our lives, and then think through how that could be changed. So just think for a moment how you might feel in this scenario. You've managed to leave work on Wednesday night early, just about. You've run all the way to get to prayer meeting here on Wednesday evening, just in time for it to start. And then you look at your phone and a whole list of texts have come through on the WhatsApp saying, sorry, I'm a bit busy tonight. Sorry, I'm a bit tired, can't make it. How do you feel in that moment? Or this morning you see others not coming back on a serving team and you're here week one, arriving early and leaving late. How do you feel in that moment? Or for those at school, your only Christian friend at school has decided not to come to see you this year, and now you've been asked to run it. How do you feel in that moment? Now, let me be clear. None of those activities are bad. They're good, good things. It would be lovely to see loads on Wednesday night at our prayer meeting. But I hope seeing those scenarios just and asking ourselves, what does it make us feel? What's it revealing about us deep down in our heart? And what character might I be veering towards? The tax collector or the Pharisee? Or consider our relationships with one another for a moment. I wonder, do we compare ourselves favourably against others? So in a way, we talk so that we elevate ourselves and demote others just in conversation. We might elevate ourselves and demote others by mentioning how long we've been here at Christchurch. We might do it when we talk about who we know in the Christian world or Christian leaders. We might talk about what churches we've been part of or what summer camps we've been on. Do we gain our confidence in our faith from being in the right Christian circles? Do I feel secure in my faith by attaching myself to certain groups or tribes or denominations and kind of separating, pushing myself away from others that I don't want to be known to be part of? And what would happen if it was all stripped away? And the question is, would Jesus be enough for me? Would Jesus be enough for us? Now, those sorts of questions have been really painful for me as I've thought that through this week. Really made me think, what sort of faith do I have? What trajectory am I on? Who am I veering towards? And they were hard to think through, but I encourage you, even though hard, do think them through, because they're going to make a big deal and a big difference to our faith. And as Jesus concludes his parable, he really ups the ante for us. He raises the stakes because he says, verse 14, I tell you that this man, referring to the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Jesus says, those who know they're a tax collector, sinners crying out for God's mercy, find his forgiveness. Those who come to God with empty hands are justified. Those who come clinging to Jesus are accepted and welcomed. Those who come in humility find God's favor. And Jesus says, those who are like the Pharisee, those who put confidence in themselves, trust in themselves, in their religious performance, floor 72, looking down on others, while they go home not justified, not accepted, and not welcomed by God. Jesus says, if you come to him in pride, you won't find God's favor. It is a real shock. It's a real shock as I spent time thinking about it this week. And the shock continues. Put simply, it continues because Jesus says it has eternal consequences. Verse 14 continues, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is saying, if you exalt yourself, have flaw 72, proud faith, trusting in yourself, not Jesus, then you will be humbled, brought low in the future, and will not enjoy God's eternal favor. But those who have a humble faith, empty hands, clinging to Jesus, you'll be exalted in the future. In the future, you'll enjoy God's eternal favor and kindness. It's a real shock, isn't it? A real shock. And if it has shocked you today, then during coffee, talk to one another about it. Talk to Adam or myself about that shock, if you felt that this morning. And to the tax collectors here this morning, keep clinging. Keep clinging. And if you're noticing yourself veering off course, away from tax collector, towards the Pharisee, then come back to Jesus. Come back simply clinging to him. Clinging to that momentous news that in Christ we find mercy. We find our sins covered, not counted against us, forgiven, and at Jesus' perfect record, his righteousness, well, we're clothed in it. Clothed in it. So God the Father sees us and he sees his Son and he opens his arms and he says, welcome, you are justified, accepted, welcomed, loved. So let's keep clinging to Jesus, clinging to him with nothing else attached. But please don't think, kind of leaving here, that, okay, next on my Christian to-do list is I need to have a humble faith. I need to keep clinging. It's sort of another one on the list. Don't think like that, because that would be the opposite of what this parable is teaching us. But instead, let's encourage one another. Encourage each other after the service to be growing in a humble faith, one that comes to Jesus with empty hands and clings to him. A faith that keeps praying the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. And I'd like to finish by giving you all a present. You may already have done this. Kids might already have eaten them. But on your pews at either end, there should be a few little cards, business cards sort of size. And okay, you can get up and find them if you haven't got one. On one side it says Christchurch Crouch End. If you turn it over, there is the Jesus prayer on it. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. And it's a present from me to you. Take it home with you. And why not put it up somewhere where you're always going to see it? Fridge, mirror, by the front door, in your wallet, by your phone, something like that. So that each day you can keep in your mind as we think through this kind of faith health check this morning. We keep clinging to Jesus, empty-handed, clinging to him, praying that prayer. Nothing else attached. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. Let me pray and then I'll hand back to Adam. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me and all of us here this morning. Help us be those empty-handed, we come clinging to Jesus for mercy. Help us as we think through what sort of faith we have, be those like the tax collector who can sing those words, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.